Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, starting with verse 1 through 9, chapter 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
People of God, let us pray together. Gracious God, you call to us, you tell us that if we seek, we will find. If we ask, we will receive. If we knock, the door will be opened. And so we come and ask that we might find a sense of your peace, a sense of your presence, an understanding of your call in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, a passage that you know already. So listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's troubles are enough for today." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Greg said, welcome to September. September is a five-Sunday month. And so that means that we are going to walk our way through our mission statement, verb by verb, because there are four. And then on the fifth Sunday, the hope is that we will make some attempt to put into practice a part of what it is that we say that we believe, who it is that we say we are, by inviting not just one another, but our community to celebrate and enjoy one another's company, to be the presence of God in the world through the Fall Festival. That's the vision. That's what we're trying on for the month of September. Our mission statement begins, "We are called to seek God's word." At its most basic level, this is probably the deepest calling and the deepest longing of all of humanity, whether they realize that's what's missing in their lives or not. A longing for something beyond ourselves seems to be a fairly universal longing. But what does it mean when we say that we are called to seek God's word? And what do we mean by God's word? How are we doing this in practice? Are we doing it well? Is there room for improvement? Could we be more intentional and purposeful in our seeking? We can begin with some basic definitions for you school teachers out there so that we have a shared starting point. To seek is to go in search, to wonder, to look for, or to study something. We seek information and knowledge. We seek answers to questions that we have. We seek safety and security. We seek to be welcome and a sense of feeling at home. We seek to understand, but we also seek to be understood by others. We seek a sense of wholeness and peace in our lives. It is then in our very nature to seek, to search, to wonder, to pursue. But specifically, we say that we are called to seek God's word. You know that that has a double meaning, right? It is the word of God set out for us on paper. We are blessed with free and easy access to the word of God. No one tells us that we cannot read this book. Whether we take advantage of it or not is a different story. But the word of God is not limited to the page, is it? Because the Gospel of John says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God then is not found only in the pages of Scripture, but in the very person of Jesus. In the words that he spoke, yes, and in his very being, we find the Word of God. When we confess that we are called to seek God's word, we are claiming that we are called not only to understand the words that God gives us in Scripture, but also we are called to seek the person that is Jesus Christ. Seeking God's word, then, is not just a pursuit of head knowledge. That's important. It's not just the ability to quote Scripture or understand the words on the page, although again that is important. Seeking God's word also means that we pursue a deeper connection, a relationship with our Lord and Savior. We are called, that means we're invited, to engage not only our brains but our whole selves in pursuit of Christ, our mind, our body, and our soul. Seeking God's word, then, is an active pursuit of relationship and partnership with Christ. The invitation is an open one. Isaiah said, "Anyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Anyone who seeks the most precious gift of all, gift of life in God's presence is offered to us freely. The thing that excludes us from Christ's presence is not God, but our own refusal, or our own distraction, or our own sense that we might have something else or something better to do. Because God is not far away from us. God is not hidden or difficult to find. God has not placed large obstacles in our way or barriers that prevent us from drawing near. God has not abandoned us or left us here on earth to our own devices. We are called to seek God's word, not because God is hidden or hard to find, but because we need to be constantly reminded to return our own hearts, our own minds, our own selves back to that search, because we are easily distracted. A deeper relationship, a greater understanding of the presence of God is always available for us. The issue, more often than not, is the things that we put in our own way. Just as there is always something more to learn about someone that we love, there is always some new depth, some new access to the presence of God as well. Just as when you meet a dear friend, there is always more to share. There's always something else to talk about. So our relationship with God ought to be as well. You can find this in Scripture. Have you ever noticed when you sit down to read a chapter or a verse that you gain some new insight? You never saw something quite that way before. I never took it that way before. Huh, I don't remember that story. When was that? We are called to seek God's word by engaging Scripture as if it were a meaningful part of our lives. We are called to place it in the center, to wonder and to talk together and with others about the purpose and meaning of Scripture and the lessons that we find there. But seeking God's word is not limited to the study of Scripture. It is also an ever-deepening relationship with the living God. Prayer, study, journaling, solitude, Sabbath rest, as we talked about last week, or meditation are only a few of the ways in which people throughout history have sought to build on this idea of seeking God's presence, seeking God's word. They're just a few of the multitude of tools available to us to help us deepen our relationship with Christ. Your individual pursuit of God's word, your individual seeking of God's word must be your own journey. No one can tell you what you most need to feed your soul. God is the one who knows the answer to that question, not any of the rest of us. But together we can learn tools. Together we can challenge one another, pray with and for one another. But your connection and your relationship to your God must be your responsibility. It must be your own journey. You are responsible for how you choose to engage with God or not. I can't tell you any particular secret that is going to get you into the place where you are constantly living seeking God's presence. The wisdom that I can offer is the same simple truths that are spoken over and over again in Scripture. God calls. God pursues, God seeks us. What we must do is learn to open our hearts and still our lives long enough to hear what God has to say. If we don't make space and time, if we don't choose to seek, we will unlikely find. If we seek, Jesus promises, we will find. The invitation is free to all who would accept. Our responsibility is to accept the invitation, to take the time and create the space where we are actively seeking God's word. But our mission statement doesn't say, I am called to seek God's word, does it? It says, we. And though I do believe that that is implied, that I am called to seek God's word, it is also true that we, together, are called to seek God's word for our congregation and for our community. How are we together seeking God's word? The obvious answers might be some of the things that were already listed off this morning in announcements, right? Sunday school, Bible study, prayer, all of which are opportunities, but I suspect that God intends there to be more. Are there other ways that we might seek God's word together? We seek God's word when we gather around this table. We seek God's word when we seek to be fed and nourished by the Spirit of God. When we gather to share life together, when we are willing to share our burdens with each other, when we are willing to share the struggles that we have one with another, we are seeking God's word. When we wonder together, who has God called us to be in Hickory Hills? Who has God called us to be as a congregation? When we do those things, we are seeking God's word. Jesus said that first we should seek the kingdom and that everything else would fall into place. We spend a lot of time and energy in our lives worried. We just do. We worry about things. Sometimes we worry about the basic necessities of life, but many of us are blessed to not worry about that. We find all sorts of other things to worry about instead, don't we? Worry is a constant companion of humanity. And why is that? Because we are focused and distracted in other places besides the ones we are invited to. So I want to invite you to wonder. What would happen if instead of worrying about all of the things that are running through your brain and all of the lists of things to do, and all of the stuff that is going on around you, what would happen if you settled yourself first to seek the Word of God? What if we were to wonder about how it is that we are day by day, moment by moment, seeking the Word of God? One of the ways that you can ask yourself this question is to wonder, if Jesus were living my life, how would Jesus choose to live it? Rather than assuming that in order to follow Jesus, we must become itinerant preachers, what if Jesus were living your life? How would Jesus choose to interact with the people around you? How would Jesus choose to do your job? How would Jesus choose to interact with your family? How would Jesus do the things that you do every day? How would Jesus live your life if Jesus were living your life? This is what it means to seek God's word, to seek to be more and more like the person who was and is the Word of God. We are called to seek God's word. We do this any time we invite God to speak into our lives, into our relationships, our work, our worries, our very beings. And so I want to invite you for a few moments to just reflect, to wonder, what does it look like for you to seek God's word? What would it look like to live the life that Jesus would live if Jesus were living your life? Take a moment, and I'll close us with prayer. Almighty God, we bless you for the gift of your word. We pray for the grace to seek that we might find. Amen. We're going to sing together the words, "Where Across the Crowded Ways of Life," number 665, and would you stand as you are able?